Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got, Venerable Tom is back.
Hello.
From the whoopee cushion factory.
I'm so glad. I forgot to bring your gifts.
I'm sure you went to the gift shop, yes. And you had plenty of stuff to give us. And then we got Ziggy Rodriguez. That's right. Change the subject as quickly as possible. We don't want to have too much fun because we're in the Lenten season.
Exactly. Right.
And when you're in the Lenten season, doesn't the scripture say we should look really dour and sour and sad? No, wait. We should comb our hair and we should look like we're not fasting. That's right.
Yes.
So we will chuckle a little bit here today. But interestingly, as we are in Lent, Ziggy, you had an experience this past weekend. I was unable to attend. I had to rearrange my sock drawer because that really gets out of whack sometimes. And I use Lent as an opportunity to do that. Now my wife is rolling her eyes because I do not rearrange my sock drawer. But all that aside, you gave a retreat. You were a retreat master or a co-retreat master. I don't know if we're allowed to say that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact title was, but yeah, Sergio.
Leader of the retreat.
Right.
Speaker at the retreat. You did a retreat. You were there. At the beautiful Our Lady Queen of Peace Retreat Center in the Diocese of Memphis, which is a gorgeous retreat center, small and beautiful and well kept. It's a gem, and people should look it up. Our Lady Queen of Peace Retreat Center in the Diocese of Memphis, they should travel here and have a retreat here. It's really, really quite beautiful. And you put on a Lenten retreat with your friend Sergio Vasquez, right? He was the one that did it.
He's
been on our show. And I think he's got Radio Resurrección, which is a Hispanic radio program. It's wonderful. I think they actually do radio programming. I think it's a 24/7 kind of a deal. But look, what we're talking about is being in Lent, and I think it's important maybe that we just highlight the importance of something like a Lenten retreat. I mean, after the first Sunday of Lent, we have the readings with Jesus in the desert. And just the idea of us, each of us kind of doing what Jesus did, and us taking an opportunity as Christians to go into the desert to prepare. And I think that's a beautiful example that Jesus set, obviously. And also very practical. If you want to beat the devil, the best way to do it is to empty yourself, go into the desert, 40 days, 40 nights, right? And that's why we have Lent every year, so that when the Easter mysteries arrive, we are tuned in. We are just ready to receive, and how beautiful that is. So we need to spend these 6 Sundays recollecting and reconciling, reflecting, doing all these RE words, to ourselves as we prepare to receive Jesus at Easter time. Sam, you had the unique experience of having a Lenten retreat, of putting one on. Well, first of all, what was that like preparing for?
So Steve Fracchia is the director of the Our Lady Queen of Peace Retreat Center.
I don't mention names because they haven't paid the fee. They pay the fee, then they get named all the time. I'm kidding.
Steve would gladly pay.
He would. He's a good guy. Steve Fracchia, he runs the Our Lady Queen of Peace Retreat Center.
And, we've had the retreat center in our diocese for a while, and there have been, at one point there was a religious order that had some management of it, and there have been questions as to, what the future of the retreat center might be. And Steve, he very successful businessman and a very devout Catholic, and he just felt led by the Holy Spirit. There's a beautiful story involved with that transition for him. He felt led by God to step into the role of director of the retreat center, and he came in with a beautiful vision that I believe was inspired by God to how to really transform it and to really, integrate it into the life of the diocese as a diocesan retreat center.
And it's been very successful.
It has.
When I say successful, it's not like raking in the dough. It's sustaining itself and also bearing so much fruit in the diocese.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, it's a diocesan retreat center, but at the same time, if anybody is interested in going on retreat, a lot of dioceses don't have one, and we would love to have you from anywhere in the world if you'd like to come to the Our Lady Queen of Peace retreat center. We highly recommend it. But yeah, so Steve and I, we've been in communication for a little while about me stepping into the role of helping to lead a retreat. And what happened was, it was probably around December, we really started having, December of last year, we really started discussing me stepping in specifically for a Lenten retreat. And I had just finished a journal entry. I've mentioned on the show that journaling has been a big part of my spiritual life, my prayer life over the past few months. And I had just completed a journal entry that was very much just sort of, it comes across as a strong Lenten journal entry and reflection, but it included a lot of background information that I knew that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily be familiar with.
Well, so, you know, with a journal entry,
yeah,
it's supposed to be something that comes from your heart. It's your journal, so it's obviously going to have information that probably needs a little explanation, you know.
Yes.
What's this part about being abducted by aliens? Sam, explain that to me. You know?
Right.
But just so people are aware, you had this very probing, beautiful, just fruitful journal entry, but it's really about you and your experiences.
Yeah.
And you want to share parts of it, but you don't really want to. You can't really share all of it without. Let's take, like, for my 18th talk, we're going to step further into this.
Well, so the journal entry, it made reference to things that, you know, for those who listen to the show, the Catholic Cafe, they've might have heard us discussing Wisdom Chapter 2 and fear of death, and how Wisdom Chapter 2 presents fear of death as being at the core of, you know, what causes us to sin and seek control rather than surrender. So it assumes knowledge of stuff like that. It assumes knowledge of God's permissive will versus active will, and, you know, the need to entrust oneself to the goodness of God's permissive will. We've obviously talked about that a whole lot, and it assumed also a lot of information about St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, and things that God, that St. Thomas Aquinas has established, you know, as a matter of pure logic about who God is, and also about, you know, who the human person is.
And to be clear, we've covered so much of that material.
Yeah.
And especially in our last several episodes. So if you want to know more about that, we've actually covered permissive will, divine will, finding God, faith versus science, walking in faith, learn to surrender. We've covered so many of these things in here. And plus, we've had whole shows on wisdom too, and the fear of death and things like that. That I think are really powerful if you want to go back and reflect on some of that information.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, basically what I told Steve, I shared with him the journal entry, and he thought it was, he agreed that it was, I read it aloud to him, and he was like, mic drop. So he thought it would be a good thing to present to the retreat, but he agreed that it had a lot of information that needed to be unpacked ahead of time. So that was basically my goal in doing my part of the retreat. And the way that Steve has set things up is he has these retreats, and he recognizes that a lot of people aren't really able to dedicate a full weekend. And so he has it where there's you come in on Friday. There's two sessions. There's people who will come in on Friday, and then they'll leave late Saturday morning, early afternoon, and then you have another group of people who will come in late Saturday evening, and then they'll leave Sunday afternoon. Some people stay for the full weekend. Some people will attend the Friday session and then have a silent retreat on their own afterwards. There's a lot of different ways that people approach it. But the way it's structured is, you know, I would be giving a talk on the, you know, both the evening time and in the morning time, and then I'd be co-leading the retreat with another person. You did something very similar with Monsignor Victor.
I've done it a couple of years now. It's an Advent retreat, so it ends up being a single night retreat.
Yeah,
and it's gotten very popular because people are like, well, I can't give up my whole weekend. You know, this is just the mindset. Like,
sure.
The human anthropology teaches us that we're busy, 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 and we don't want to make time for retreats. These one-day retreats are really nice. You just do two one-day retreats in a row, And some people might stay for two, but the reality is a lot of people just want, they want to dip in. So you kind of pack it full of good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the difference between the Lenten version and the Advent version is we get a bourbon tasting.
So, yeah, exactly.
So there's that. But what is the retreat like in a Lenten experience, though? Because, you know, there's like a lot of... There's some of these retreats will have so much food, and,
right?
You know,
right.
But the Lenten version. I mean, do they give you like, you know, stale Skittles, you know, and it's just, you know, not really good stuff there. What are they? How do they handle
well,
that?
Well, so for those who don't know, I mean, the Our Lady Queen of Peace Retreat Center. It's got great food. You know, to be honest, every time I go to the retreat center, generally speaking, I kind of look forward to the food and. And
it's like authentic country kitchen.
Yeah.
In there. Those people literally are from. The country.
Right, right.
Lovely, lovely people. Absolutely wonderful people. And they cook beautifully. It's good food.
And a lot of times they do, during normal parts of the season, like in Advent, they'll have, you know, things like bourbon tastings in the evening or something special just to kind of make sure everybody is having a great time. And as part of
but
the retreat.
But hors d'oeuvres and things
yeah, hors d'oeuvres
on,
and stuff like that. And then it's also a beautiful 140-acre campus. And so, you know, people stretch out. Sometimes they'll go out, have a bonfire with cigars, stuff like that.
It's
so
a rural setting.
Yeah, exactly. It could be a really cool experience. And so for me, I would say I came into this experience, like on one hand, I had already made like some pretty serious Lenten commitments in terms of things like diet and exercise and just sort of restricting myself in various ways. But then on the other hand, like I came into it sort of like predisposed with some attachments like, ooh, I'm going to go to the retreat center. That's fun, right?
Yes.
And like, and I knew they weren't going to do like the bourbon tasting just because it was Lent.
Yeah, of course.
But I knew they were still going to have like good food and various other things that were going to be available. And so I had to first sort of fight some inclinations and just sort of make that choice of saying, no, it's Lent. I'm not going to make excuses for myself.
I thought it was interesting. One thing I heard that happened was that you got really angry and you pointed your finger at a bowl full of Starburst and said, get thee behind me, Satan.
So,
I think you did that.
There was a funny thing about the Starburst. So I had maintained my commitments in terms of like following the, like, Part of what I'm trying to do these days for Lent is making fasting the norm, right? Following the Catholic norms of, you know, one full meal, and then you can have like two snacks that don't equal a full meal if combined. And so I was trying to follow that protocol, and then I also, you know, things like exercise, pretty heavy exercise requirements that normally I would do like within the context of like my local gym and some equipment that I have at home. And I didn't have any of that when I was out in the country and there. And so I had come in, I'd made the decision to stick to these commitments. And there were this bowl of Starburst that were sitting out there. And I said to Steve, the retreat director, I was like, Steve, I'm just telling you, when you come in on Sunday morning, when it, you know, that Starburst bowl, it's going to just have yellow and orange Starburst
That's
in it,
right.
You know, when the clock turns midnight on from Saturday to Sunday, it's game over, baby. And like, I was making that joke a couple of times, and then finally, you know, I was up with one of the retreatants, and we were having just some wine and unpacking some stuff. I was like, hey, it's midnight. Let's go grab that bowl of Starburst. And we worked together to finish, to make it where it was just yellow and orange, and which I thought was really funny, but it gave me a little bit of a stomach ache. And I thought, you know, I could have pulled off the joke by just like moving them to another bowl, but whatever.
That's right. You throw yourself into your improv, into your comedy, right?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I would say in terms of preparing for the Lenten retreat, I've been working 12-hour days, so I didn't really have the opportunity to really write things out in the way that I was wanting to.
And I think sometimes that's better, though.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it worked out well, although I shared this with someone who was close to me, and they were like, no, you need to prepare. You've got people who are showing up. What are you doing? And I was like, but like, you know.
You need to get a new friend.
Stop. No, but anyways, so I came in and I was really happy when on Friday, late afternoon, early evening, I met up with Sergio. He's the guy who's presenting the retreat with me. And he got a broad outline beforehand of what I was going to present, but I hadn't given him like filled in the details yet fully. And it was amazing because his talks that he had planned just linked up perfectly with mine, including with stuff that he didn't know that I had already wanted to fold in. So Holy Spirit was at work. And I'll say, too, like, when I came up to start talking, I don't know if a lot of people in the audience know about sort of the tradition with the ladybug in Catholic tradition, but the reason a ladybug is called a ladybug is because it has seven dots, one for each sorrow, and it's traditionally associated with Our Lady. And so sometimes when a ladybug appears during like a spiritually trying moment, people will say, ah, Our Lady is showing her favor. So it was something that was kind of wild. As I'm walking up to the podium, I look down, and there's a little ladybug on the podium, and I thought, well, that's nice.
That's good. Good stuff. So what was like the gist of the talk, where, you know, you started to talk a little bit about your journal entry, but really those people that are there for a retreat, they're actually going out into the desert, right?
Yeah.
And they're looking for some kind of Lenten sustenance, something to kind of carry them through the Lenten. What just encapsulate the message if you can.
Sure. Without,
you can't do it by mentioning the name Aquinas.
That's funny. Unfortunately, I don't know if I can do that without just plagiarizing him.
That's
but,
all right.
Just
give us a little bit about what that was about.
Sure. So, you know, the first night we kind of began with the bad news in a way, right? Like before we got into the good news, which is just we unpacked Wisdom chapter 2. That's something we've discussed on the show before. And the notion of fear of death being at the core of what causes us to sin, what causes us to seek control rather than to surrender, to focus on taking rather than receiving. And so, you know, I wanted to introduce those themes for the nighttime session, just to invite the retreatants to really pray about what are places where they're seeking control. Is there a fear of death within them that they need to just entrust to God? And I also introduced them a topic that people here in our Catholic Cafe audience will know very well, which is just trusting the goodness of God's permissive will and acknowledging the difficulty of that, but also discussing like the importance of it, the centrality of it. So that was the first night, right? And so a lot of that was kind of probably pretty hard to hear, because a lot of it was sort of hard to swallow pills.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, it seemed to me to be an important way to begin the retreat. I'm kind of reminded as I say this, there's a Dominican friar who used to conclude his masses saying, "May the peace of Christ disturb you."
Yeah.
You know? So I was trying to use that first talk just to kind of shake people out and cause them to ask themselves some difficult questions. And then on Saturday, the real focus, and again, a lot of this was to lay foundation to share that journal entry, but the real focus was discussing the identity of God, who God is, and then your identity, who you are in Him, and what it means to be who you are, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to use St. Thomas Aquinas. I wanted to use.
If I had a censor button, I would, you know, I would have hit it.
But what I wanted to tell them is, like, listen, I could sit here and I could read you, you know, Bible passages or lines from the catechism, and I could just ask you to just memorize these things as a matter of faith. But, you know, core questions is to knowing that God exists, knowing the basics of who He is, and why He has created this universe and created us. These are actually things that can be deduced purely from logic. And I think it's important to walk people through that so that they can know this is not just something that I'm memorizing because I'm hearing people with authority at church tell me that I need to memorize it and try to live by it. But it's actually true. It's true and it's defensible. It's real. God is real. He is love. He's loved us into existence. You know, and so to try to really lay that foundation, and then also I introduced, you know, concepts related to like, okay, who are we, right? And there I was talking about what sort of you could say the Thomistic anthropology, you know, which is a fancy way of saying how St. Thomas Aquinas breaks down the description of who the human person is, and there, you know, we're the reason this was important was that the journal entry is largely focused on you are not yourself. So like, and like it opens up with like death to the self gives life to the soul. Why? Because you are not yourself. And I think ostensibly what the journal entry is trying to establish is like you are a soul body composite who has been loved into existence by Almighty God. You have an intellect, you have a will, you've got appetites, yes, like your concupiscible appetites and your irascible appetites. And, you know, I'll take a second to explain what those are.
No. Go ahead.
Concupiscible appetites, those are the appetites. And with St. Thomas Aquinas, it all falls along the same spectrum, where appetite, emotion, impulse, it all falls under the same thing. A concupiscible appetites are the appetites that lead us to seek after sensual pleasures. And the irascible appetites are the things that cause us to sort of push the will forward. Both of pursuing the good. When we're pursuing sensual pleasures, like the things of the creation, the things that God has created are good. When we use our irascible appetites, like Jesus was using his irascible appetites when he was overturning the tables in the temple, right? And that was for a good, right? And so our appetites are not bad. Our desires are not bad, right? But they're out of whack. And it disrupts the proper functioning of our souls, because a lot of times we have these bad habits of our souls. We're all wound up in our desires for sensual pleasure, or desire to kind of get our way, and push. That is throwing off our ability to receive who we are in God, right? And so in terms of saying you are not yourself, it's saying, well, who are you? You're a beloved child of God. You know, and what we need to do is and what God wants to do is to help us die to self, and so that we can get these appetites of ours under control, so that we can receive the truth with our intellect, command our wills in accordance with the truth, and have our appetites be subordinated to the truth. And as we're doing that, whose truth? God, right? So we're being restored to self. We're living in Him, with Him, and through Him. And so it was an invitation to help them realize, because we have right now this world where people are trying to create themselves, that we're so self-focused and self-centered, and we want to be our own author. And it was to say, no. You know, we have one author. It's God. And if we want to receive who we are, we have to receive Him and receive who we are in Him. And so it was an invitation ultimately to shift away from things like self-esteem, right, where people, we did a show on this on Catholic Cafe, saying like, how can I have self-esteem if I'm supposed to die to self? And we shift the focus to soul esteem that you've been loved into to existence by Almighty God, and you've been created to receive Him, that love might be enfleshed within you, that you might become love, become another Christ within the world, and you've got a call to sainthood. That is who you are, and that's where you will find your fulfillment. So that's what the whole presentation on my end was ultimately ordered towards. And it was very well received, and a lot of people asked me to kind of share the journal entry with them afterwards, which I did. And yeah, it was a great blessing.
That is awesome. And you know what? The key is all those things you're talking about. This is the time to do that. Right, this is the Lenten season, is the time just to examine like who you are, whose you are, and then start to set some goals for yourself. And it's not too late. You know, we're just into the second week of Lent, and honestly, you have plenty of time now. And maybe you look in your own diocese, wherever you are, look around you, look at your parish, and find opportunities for Lenten retreats. They're out there. And just use it as a time to go into the desert. And even if you're not at a retreat, it's an opportunity to stop and recollect and stop and think about all these things. What it is that, what are your appetites leading you to when they're unchecked, right? And then how to tame these things. And this is why it's not just a matter of giving up chocolate, you know, that the whole Catholic, you know, ethos, the whole Catholic of all theology basically centers on, you know, giving up chocolate, because that seems arbitrary and bizarre, because it is. However, the concept of controlling appetites and then realizing how to redirect things and then seeing how that plays perfectly into well, basically theology, but just the salvation story, it really puts a whole new turn on everything and helps you to discover who you are. And I like to keep saying what I've heard other people say, like whose you are, in terms of like the concept of dying to self. There's just not enough dying to self these days, and a lot of people struggle with that. And I realize that struggle, but this is why the Lenten season is such a beautiful opportunity. You know, we have birthdays and anniversaries every year, and every year we have Lent that leads us to Easter. And this idea of just sort of gathering ourselves and stopping and thinking, recollecting and pondering about like our meaning in the world, the purpose and meaning of our creation, is vital to our existence. Otherwise, we start existing for the sake of ourselves, and we know that gets us into a lot of troubles. So, Sam, thanks for sharing what you talked about on your Lenten retreat, and really just the experience. So the folks, when they left, did they feel ready for Lent? Is that
the
feeling you got?
Absolutely. I got a lot of positive feedback from people, and actually the priest who was hearing confessions came and said that they said that a lot of people said that the retreat material that they were bringing it into the confessional and it was having a big impact.
That's what's supposed to happen. That's an awesome thing. And by the way, Tom, every time we talk about, you know, how to have a good Lent, what's one of the things we
confession?
Yeah, confession is, it's just like, listen, having a do-over in life, you know, from the very beginning when we were little kids playing baseball and whatever out.
Big deal.
Yeah, or football. It's like, do-over, you know. You got to do a do-over. Lent is an opportunity for a really great do-over for each of us. It's like a do-over makeover. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really a good and beautiful thing. Sam, thanks again for sharing that. Y'all have a beautiful Lent. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.